Will the next arms race be in your mind? A new report commissioned by the Defense Intelligence Agency argues that the military needs to invest in new ways of controlling the minds of our soldiers and the minds of our enemies. Dr. Jonathan Marino is a professor of bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. He's also the author of Mind Wars, Brain Research and National Defense. He served on this commission we're talking about, and he helped write the report. All right, Jonathan, thanks for joining us. Most of this report doesn't actually exist, right? It's in someone's minds. We're just reading someone's minds.
Well, what the report intends to do is to chart the possible future of the use of neuroscience in national intelligence. It's a story that actually has started as far back, at least as the Second World War, when the first psychometric tests, like the thematic apperception test, were designed under contract between Harvard and the Army, and continues through the somewhat notorious LSD experiments of the 50s and 60s. But today, the science is vastly more sophisticated, and there are possibilities that some of what we're learning about the brain could be used for malicious purposes. So the intelligence community asked the National Research Council, and I don't speak for them, I was only on the committee, to do a study to see what kinds of technical possibilities were on the horizon.
Can you give me more examples of what we're talking about here?
Sure. So, for example, in the near term, and already really in use, there are new anti-sleep drugs that have come out of the pharmaceutical industry that don't seem to have the side effects of traditional anti-sleep drugs like amphetamines. And they're already apparently being used by people in the military, particularly pilots, Air Force pilots, who have to stay awake for long periods of time. And, of course, for combat soldiers who often get by during conflicts on 4 hours of sleep a night for weeks at a time, these new medications coming out of industry can be very useful. But further down the road, there are new ideas that people have about, for example, the use of some of these new imaging machines that we have, like functional MRI, to perhaps do lie detection, to perhaps to aid in interrogation to see if somebody is intentionally deceiving based on what we're seeing that's going on in their brains. And then perhaps using new kinds of connections between our brains and machines to leverage our intellectual capacities and what the computers can do to enhance them.
New connections between our brains and machines?
Sure. And this,
what do you mean here? I mean, this sounds like an episode of The X-Files that was lost and we just found it.
Yeah, I mean, it does verge into science fiction, but so much science does these days, right?
Yeah.
So we already, of course, have pacemakers in people's hearts. And so one woman told me a few years ago at a dinner when I was talking about this stuff, well, you know, I'm already part machine. I got this pacemaker.
But that seems totally different getting your physical body to work, but and influencing our psychological part of our brain. That seems a little far-fetched that there's going to be this pill sometime soon that's going to, I don't know, take away the will of our enemies to fight?
Well, I don't know if we're going to have a pill like that, but what we might well have is an ability to increase the flow of certain brain hormones that we make when we're in trusting situations, like at a nice dinner, for example, with a friend. And it might be possible, some believe, to stimulate these naturally occurring hormones to be produced under sort of difficult circumstances, like when you're cross-examining somebody or interrogating them. And that might make the next person who walks in the room the good cop. You wouldn't have to play good cop, bad cop. But the idea of putting something like an implant in the brain that could perhaps enhance your ability to recall events, perhaps your ability to learn a language, or even perhaps do that transcranially, that is to say, outside of the head, by manipulating the electrical patterns in the brain.
Transcranially? I think that's the word for the day.
Yeah, write that one down. You'll impress your friends. This is already being done experimentally, particularly with primates. So it's called transcranial magnetic stimulation. And basically, you can use magnets to manipulate the electrical patterns in the brain. And you can change perceptions, attitudes. There's some evidence that you might be able to increase learning capacity when you do this.
You mentioned primates. Who exactly is this being tested on, both the human, animal, and mineral, I guess I should
ask?
Well,
you know, most of this is going on in academia and in industry, not experimentally in military and intelligence agencies. So what's being learned, as is often true of the brain historically, is to a great extent being learned by people who are undergoing some kind of surgical or medical intervention. There are also, of course, some animals are being used, and normal healthy volunteers are used. But the further out stuff that we're talking about, these brain machine connections, for example, that is, and almost all of this stuff is a long way off. But the view of the intelligence community seems to be that they would like to do a better job of knowing what to look for, and particularly once they understand what the technical possibilities are, to see what adversaries might be doing.
Quickly, how much money are we talking about here when it comes to the research?
Well, nobody really knows. That wasn't part of the report.
I thought I'd ask anyway.
Well, you know, if you can write me a check, and I'll tell you. I think we're not talking about a lot of money for some of these more way-out intelligence or national security implications yet. Eventually, because the field of neuroscience is growing so fast, there is going to be substantial industry and academic investment, even more than there is now. So I think right now, between academia and industry and neuroscience, we're talking about billions, which is getting to be real money.
All right. Talk about real money. We're under a real deadline. We got to let you go. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Dr. Jonathan Marino, professor of bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. Adora?
We're always on at The Takeaway. You can catch up with us on Facebook, FriendFeed, or Twitter.
Let's go to our takeaway today.
Idiot, there's a thing called the Constitution.
Oh, it's always good to get lessons in the Constitution from Karl Rove, Adora. He gave us a little civics lesson when we asked if he really wasn't trying to get President Bush elected to a third term. I'm Catherine Lamper, in for John Ockenberry.
And if you missed anything from our show or want to weigh in on anything you've heard, go to our website, thetakeaway.org. And I'm Adora Udoji, and you're listening to The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.